Thank you, and welcome once again to this radio program. We're grateful that you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you'd receive a blessing from hearing the Word of God today. We do want to take this opportunity to invite you to the church services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale, Missouri, and we invite you to come to our Sunday school this morning at 10 o'clock. Our regular preaching service begins about 11 o'clock, and then tonight's services are at 4 o'clock. We have our midweek Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And so you're invited to come to these services, and I know this, that if you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where you can go that teaches the Word of God, that practices what the Word of God teaches, then you'll find a home at Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. We do not pull punches when we preach or when we teach. We say what the Word of God says, and we try to practice daily what the Bible teaches. And so if that's what you're looking for, then we invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, and it may be that you thought for some time that you would come. And so we urge you to make it today, that you would come to the services and begin to worship and serve the Lord in this place if God is leading you there. This morning, we'd like to speak a message of salvation. We'd like to begin this morning in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And we'd like to think about our first point, which is the doctrine of total depravity. And I want to read to you what the Bible says concerning this most important doctrine. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now notice in verse 2, what the Bible continues to teach us about the doctrine of total depravity, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I've just read to you Ephesians 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. And these verses make it amply clear that every person is a total sinner. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, that there is none that seeketh after God, that everybody is going their own way, wanting to do their own thing, and people are forgetting God. The Bible says that every one of us was just like this. Today, if you're saved by the marvelous grace of God, there's one thing that you can rest assured on, that there was a day when you were away from God, an absolute total sinner in His sight, and had nothing whatsoever to bring to Him that you might say, "This is good." Because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And so when the Bible says that, we know that it's so, because the Bible is God's own holy word. And what God's word says is absolutely true, because it is God. I know this, that there are those today, as in times past, who would straighten up the flesh in an effort to appear to be good before men. I'm thinking of what Jesus said when He came to the Pharisees in the book of Matthew 23. And He said to them, "Why, you've cleaned up the outside, but the inside is full of dead men's bones." He said, "Well, you've cleaned the outside, and on the outside you look like you're really good." Because Jesus, as He talked to these Pharisees, He talked to people that were really religious. They were students of the Bible. They read the part of the Bible that they had, which was the Old Testament. They also read many other books, and they added to the Word of God in such a way that they actually did away with the Word of God. They took what they thought over what the Bible said. They took the traditions of their elders and what somebody had taught them instead of just reading what the Bible had to say. And Jesus said to them, "Why, you're whited sepulchers." He said, "All you are is a grave. You look fine. I mean, you got a nice white tombstone up here, but inside there's dead men." And so it is that every person without Jesus Christ is dead in trespasses and in sins, and there's no exceptions to this rule. None whatsoever. All that are born into sin. And all that are born into sin, who come and live to an age of accountability where they know there's a God that they are accountable to, and they die without being saved, that person without exception will go to hell. And it makes no difference who they are or what job they have in this life. When they come to the place when this life leaves the body and the body lays down in death and returns to the dust, that person will go somewhere. If they're saved, they go to be with the Lord. If they're lost, they go to spend their eternity away from God in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. But I want to show you here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, a marvelous scripture. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2 starts out with these two words, "But God." And you know, God makes a lot of difference in a lot of things. And in my salvation, and in your salvation, it is God that has made the difference. I'm not saved by what I've done, or what I think, or what I want to do. But I'm saved by the marvelous grace of the living God. The Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." And I think we all know what the word rich means. It would mean to have an abundance, an adequate supply. And what is it that God has an adequate supply of? The Bible said, "Who is rich in mercy." You know what mercy is? Mercy is what is given to a person who is guilty. And I want to tell you today that you and I are guilty of sinning against God. And it is God in His mercy. He's looked at us and He has confessed that we are indeed guilty. He knows that we're guilty, and we know that we're guilty. And we call out to the loving God on high to extend His merciful graces unto us. And the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," and then it continues, "for His great love wherewith He loved us." And listen, God has loved me. And if you're saved, God has loved you. The Bible says, "For His great love wherewith He loved us." And when was it that God loved us? And somebody would say, "Well, God loves us whenever we do things that's right." Let me tell you, God loved me before the foundations of the world, because that's what the Bible says. I'm glad that the Bible says that. I'm glad that God has always loved me. There was never a time when He didn't. I'm glad that God has touched my life. And I'm glad that God has done with my life the things that He's done, because He loved me. The Bible says, even in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins. Ah, Jesus loved me when I was dead in sins, when I was away from Him, when I was hopeless, and when the sins of my heart was totally black, and when I sought the things of this world, and when I desired the things of this world. Jesus loved me even when I was dead in trespasses and in sins. The Bible says, He hath quickened us together with Christ. When Jesus Christ was hung on the cross of Calvary, He wasn't hung there because He was guilty. He was hung there because I was guilty. When Jesus was hung on the cross of Calvary, He wasn't put there because He was a sinner. But He was put there because I was a sinner. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, and Jesus is God, He took my place in eternal death. Jesus bore my sins upon Himself, and He gave Himself freely because He loved me while I was still in sin. Jesus loved me before I was ever born, and He called me by His own matchless, marvelous grace unto a salvation that's absolutely free and whole. There was a day when I was lost, and there was a day when the gospel message came to me. And do you know what the gospel message was that came to me? Well, it was the same one that's been preached for years and years, the one that was preached from the foundations of this world. The Bible says when John the Baptist first began to preach, that his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus first began to preach, the Bible says that his first message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent and believe and be baptized. Obey the Lord. And I want to tell you that's the same gospel message that I heard. The Bible says that we ought to repent. And the word repent means to have another mind toward. In other words, I am commanded by God that I should turn against myself, that I should recognize exactly what I am. A lost and hell-bound deserving sinner. That I must realize before God that I have absolutely no merit. That I cannot come before Him. I cannot bring any good thing that I have and say, this I can bring and you'll know that I'm a good person. But I must come before God recognizing that I am totally worthless, and praying that God would give me mercy. Because God also knows that I'm guilty. Today, if you're a lost sinner, our prayer is that you might see yourself as God sees you. A lost sinner, hell-bound and deserving to go. That you might turn to Jesus Christ, recognize before Him that you deserve eternal damnation, and ask God for mercy upon your unworthy soul. He'll save you, and then you come and tell us about it, that we might rejoice with you. Well, we see that our time has gone away from us again today. We appreciate you listening, and we trust that the message today has been a blessing to you. We invite you once again to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, 124 South Main in Forestell, Missouri. Listen again next Sunday morning for another radio program. Thank you now for listening.